Hey guys, Rob here. Before we start the episode, I wanted to tell you about an upcoming event, Franchise Month. Basically, we're devoting 1 month or 4 episodes to a single film franchise, and we need your help. We want you to call in to our Google Voice number at 203-787-8946 and tell us what film franchise you think we should tackle. It can be any film series, it can be any number of films from any genre. The four of us will vote for one of the entries, and the winner will not only get their franchise chosen, but will also get to pick any one movie for a regular episode. Here's how it'll work. Leave us a voicemail at 203-787-8946 and tell us your first name and where you're from. Tell us what film series we should do and why we should pick it. And last, your choice for a single episode if you win. Everyone that enters will get their single movie choice put on a list that will be rolled randomly by the D20 of Fate. So there are multiple chances to win. Please keep your voicemails under 2 minutes long, as they may be played on the air. The contest will run until we have at least 10 entries, and we hope to hear from you. So thanks, and enjoy the episode.
The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. It is 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your host, as always, Tony. Joining with me today is...
Brian.
Rob Sackbag.
Joe Sackbag.
It's a lot of sackbags going on. It's
going to be... I would have said my last name, but like, nah, it fits a little too perfect.
Well, don't worry, guys, because they're not just best friends. They're blood brothers. We did The Little Vampire from the year 2000.
Couple of balls in a sack.
They've docked before. It's true.
That should have been the tagline. Two balls in a sack.
Two balls in a sack.
It would have made more sense that they're blood brothers. They're not.
Right, this is directed by Uli Idil?
Some person.
What they mean is they've shared needles before. It's not,
but this is the person that brought us Body of Evidence and Time to Change. So, you know, obviously, for kids' movies.
Is that like a diaper?
Body Evidence. Wasn't that the Madonna one?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I think Time to Change was a self-help video after, you know, he made this
yeah.
and then got on the road to recovery.
But to reevaluate.
Don't worry, he still got work after this because he also recently brought us Pay the Ghost with one Nicolas Cage.
Pay the Ghost?
Oh, yes. I'll look into it.
All right, I did a little research on it. I believe it was...
That's about right.
That didn't take long.
Nope. Like Joe said.
It fits with this movie, though. Yeah. It fits.
All his fails go with
the brown. 2 minutes out. In.
Pay the Ghost is where Nicolas Cage has a son who can see ghosts, and one takes him away to Neverland or something, so Nicolas Cage is trying to track him down. It looks like it's going to be right up this alley.
You guys can't see at home, but my eyes went so wide that one of my eyeballs actually popped out of my face, rolled it on the floor, and is now resting comfortably in a crevice between floorboards.
All right, so what is your personal history with this?
No one has seen this except for you. Not one person has seen this except for you.
I literally did not know this movie existed until we rolled it.
It's probably safe to say no one listening to this has seen this either. Assuming there's anyone listening to this, because no one's seen this movie or could possibly care.
We got listeners. We got listeners.
Yes, but I think most of them...
Some of them write us.
Some of them, most of them, William. I've heard, listen to episodes on movies that they're aware of, care about, or have any knowledge of whatsoever.
All right, so here's the thing. When I was thinking back, today in preparation of this episode, I was like, all right, do I know this movie? Do I remember this movie from anything? Like, is there any connection I could possibly make? And I'm like, well, I remember Tony used to watch this cartoon show when he was younger. It was like this little vampire kid, but he was green. Mm-hmm. I think they even had toys of it.
They did.
But then I'm like, this movie came out in 2000. He was like, you were what, 19 18? When this movie came out?
Yeah.
Did you see it in theaters?
No.
Okay. All right.
No, I like how he said no. He just like bought a copy.
No. Wait, do you own this?
No.
Okay, this is when you were at Tommy Cage's, right?
This was the Sweet Video Store days, okay. You know, where I watched all kinds of crap. And this is probably one I didn't even take home. I had to watch it while I was there. Just
took it behind the red curtain.
Yes. All right. Well, yeah. So that's my personal history.
How come those movies are on the list, Tony? Did you watch any of those while you're at work?
Why are those movies not on this? So, all right. So
you want it. I'll start doing it.
So,
you want to watch Pirates, Brian?
Brian is bringing forth to the table that the four of us, or the three of us usually, Joe would be the one watching it on his own. The three of us would get together.
To be fair, Joe would probably be watching it with Eric.
Yeah, there you go. So we'd all be together in my living room, eating Chinese food and junk food, and watching porn.
Till your wife comes home.
Till my wife comes home. And we all sit around here and then talk about it.
I had not thought this through.
What would your intro be, do you think? Just off the top here.
Go to the G string.
Would it look a little bit like this little vampire when he's having one of his visions?
All right, Joe.
I'd like to take back my
your proposal.
Let me put Requiem for a Dream on the list. We'll have a great time. So a little vampire made $5.
All right, before we get to I guess it's not that relevant now, but sort of on your note of no one knows anything about this movie, there's very little information to be found on this movie. Only noting that it's the first appearance of, or I'm sorry, the first top billing for Jonathan Lipnicki, and it's based on a children's book from the 1970s.
Okay.
And I don't know, I guess we already spoiled the name situation, so we want to get into that.
You hadn't announced it yet?
No. All right, well, I'll save that. All right, so yeah, let's guess how much this movie cost to make.
How many Happy Meals did they have to give?
Prepare to be upset.
I would imagine when you combine the budgets of a kid power movie and a vampire movie, somehow gets worse than this, like the sum of the two, or the average of the two. So I'm gonna say $1 million.
Wow,
really? Okay.
Wow. Here's my guess, and I'm gonna be completely. I'm gonna be completely serious about this.
Sorry about that, folks.
I'm gonna say $70 million.
Okay,
that's my guess.
I'm gonna say $45 million.
That sounds like a much more reasonable
guess. Yeah, it was 35.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So Joe does win. I'm going for the dollar bid, basically.
He went for the, he went for the Buffalo Wild Wings lunch fast break.
Yeah. Shooting in that castle, yep. Ensuring...
Yeah,
the insurance alone for shooting in that
there
castle
were special had effects. Bucks. Yeah. No, thinking about it after I said it, I was like, yeah, they did spend money on this.
Well, yeah, my favorite was your like kids power movie plus vampire movie, so lowball. Like, yeah. Combined, their total was lower than ever.
You subtract one from the other.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Anyone want to guess at how much this movie made?
Was there a sequel?
No, there was.
Okay. I will say $40 million.
Are we doing like box office or home video sales?
Box office.
I don't think it paid for Jonathan Lipnicki's braces.
Okay. I don't know that monetary amount, but sure.
That's basically the dollar bid.
That's fair.
Or glasses.
I'm gonna let the million ride.
All right.
So if it's under $1 million, I win.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid Joe wins again. It was $28 million.
Oh, man.
Jesus, that's still way more than it deserved.
Well, yeah. Well,
I mean, it's still a bomb, but
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You got to take kids to see something.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, that does mean for its entire run in the theaters here and across the seas.
Yeah.
Like, it did way better than Food Fight.
Yeah.
was it 75,000?
Yes. Yeah, like, so listen to the episode again. Like, so it's like 75, we're like, what? 1,000.
I was waiting for it. Gave that pause.
Yeah. Oh, Hollywood, you did it again.
Yeah. Kimon, apparently this is much bigger in, I believe it was Germany where this originates from, where they actually had a TV show based on the same book.
Really?
Prior to the movie. obviously not Jonathan Lipnicki or any of that.
He's not big anywhere.
Well, he's really short.
Yeah.
What's he doing these days? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I also don't care.
Rolling in his money?
Probably.
He's wishing he had Kwan right now.
What?
From Jerry Maguire to Kwan.
I've never seen Jerry Maguire.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It's only for doing this podcast we forced Rob to watch movies.
I'm the one at the table that's seen three movies.
Which, considering this is episode number 82, says a lot.
It's Jurassic Park and two Godzilla ones.
A Transformers, hodgepodge.
Yeah, hodgepodge. I've seen hodgepodges. Yeah. Plenty of those.
All right. So, speaking of Jonathan Lipnicki, he's in this movie.
Sure.
As what, Joe?
Tony Thompson. He is joined by Richard E. Grant as his partner in crime, Frederick Sackville Bag.
I believe God that was the head count.
Wait, that's not even his best friend. Yeah, his best friend's way down the bottom of this cast list.
It's
all right,
Rudolph, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, as Brian found out, this his partner in crime throughout this movie apparently has done so little that his photo on IMDb is still a picture from this movie.
I don't want people to know what I look like today after I've been in this.
Yeah.
As fucking Rudolph Sackville Bag.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Sack Bag, as he was known on set.
He does have a very delicious name, though. Rollo Weeks.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the sack bag.
It's delicious. Yeah, no, once you get going on that.
You can just feel it rolling off the tip of your tongue, dribbling down your chin.
Okay. Remember, there wasn't actually teabagging in this movie.
Almost, though. Almost.
Yeah, okay. Almost.
It was almost teabagging in the movie.
Fritz was like, you're getting this. You're getting
I suppose I should warn two dimes now. This is going to be a one-part discuss movie, one-part dick joke kind of podcast.
Probably two-part dick joke. I don't think you've got those measurements correct.
Yeah. No. One-part dick joke, one-part pedophilia.
To be fair.
No pedophilia.
Maybe not.
Are you sure?
Because they're all the same age in this. So like,
Wait a minute.
True romance is between two kids roughly the same age.
Two kids and a dead mouse.
Until our hero starts giving visions to the head vampire.
All right.
It's a half part.
Also, as far as
till those two go skiing.
Also, to warning those that this is going to be largely dick jokes seems like a waste of time after you mention their name was Sackbag.
Well, there you go. Well, you know what? Honestly,
someone wrote that.
The other note I had. I'll get into it. Apparently, this was intentionally to, I guess, maybe pay homage to the Lord of the Rings trilogy, where the main Hobbit family, the Baggins, did have cousins that were the Sackvilles.
Yeah, they were the assholes. They didn't like them.
Well, apparently they kicked them out of their little Hobbit holes.
And they became vampires. They became fully grown vampires.
Except most of them weren't that fully grown.
Lipnicki, who remains a Hobbit.
Yeah. And they got little moths.
I don't even know if the Hobbits would accept him.
No, definitely not.
Fucking weirdo.
He's too grungy.
Yeah.
Hobbits are clean.
So, okay. All right. I'll just burn through this real quick. You got Jim Carter as Rookery, the vampire hunter. Alice Krieg as Frida Sackville Bag. Pamela Gidley as Dottie Thompson. Tommy Hinckley as Bob Thompson. Anna Popplewell as Anna Sackville Bag. Dean Cook as Gregory Sackville Bag.
That's Dane Cook. Dane Cook wishes. He probably does.
Yeah.
He probably has stolen stuff from The Hobbit, though.
As we mentioned, you got Rollo Weeks as Rudolph Sackville Bag and John Wood as Lord McAshton.
And shout out to our buddy Fitz from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm.
So to sum it up, nobody you've ever heard of playing nobody you could possibly care about.
If you watch S.H.I.E.L.D., you know who Fitz is.
Yeah, you know who Fitz is, and you've heard Jonathan Lipnicki before if you were born before the 20s.
Before the
2000s, I mean.
I was going to say, if you were born before the 20s, I don't know. If you remember anything right now, you're doing great.
This is true. All right. So.
Well, of course they do. They got the brain juice from those super sharks. They remember everything.
All right.
Callbacks.
So, we start this movie out with a matte painting of a comet. The Halley Comet or whatever.
Yeah, it's...
What's the, or it's late 2000s, early 2000s, rather?
Yeah.
It's what, the Mbop Comet?
Sure.
Hale-bop or whatever?
Here's my joke.
Was that the one the Heaven's Gate cult killed themselves for?
Wasn't Hale-bop the one that they crashed into Jupiter?
That I'm not sure.
No, that was Shoemaker-Levy, sorry.
Yeah. All right, well, anyway, that's our episode. Next week on Four Guys in a Telescope.
Wish I had a telescope or live somewhere that you can see the sky better. Mm. No, I don't. They don't have Wi-Fi there.
Yeah. Fuck Wi-Fi. Give me stars. Anyway, so there's some chanting going on.
He don't know what he's talking about. He's crazy.
He does not know what he's talking about.
All right. So, yeah, we got a ritual here. Got some vampires.
Got some poorly pronounced Latin words, I guess.
He's just like garbling whatever he's saying. He's just...
He's like, I got a castle to pay for. I need a job. Just sign my checks.
This is how I'm going to get my kids through college.
And up shows up the vampire hunter.
Yeah. Van Helsing question?
No, mark? What is his name? Like, what his is name his name?
Was Rookery, but no, I don't think they ever say it.
Rookery is they do say it at one point or another, but Rookery is the descendant of whoever this guy is, but Rookery, I think, is the first name.
Yeah,
maybe.
I believe this was one of the Belmonts.
Like, you think so?
Could be.
He didn't throw like little holy water grenades, or didn't have a whip.
But he had a cross sword.
Maybe
that wasn't a sword. I'm not sure what that was.
Oh, that was a sword.
That was more like I can't even describe it. It was just a stick with other sticks attached to it. And when he wiggled it, it like formed a cross. Yeah.
There was implied it had a blade.
No, yeah, this was definitely meant to be a sword, at least, till he brandishes it at them. And sure enough, parts of it slide to the side, forming a double cross.
Making it so you cannot slash or thrust.
Yeah, like making the sword useless.
I think slide to the side is even a bit of an exaggeration. Yeah. It was more like he stole a signpost from the Country Bears and just kind of wiggled it into place.
Sure. And yeah, he's fighting all these vampires. He's ruining their little party here. Somehow in the midst of all this, he knocks this amulet out of their chest piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's the amulet they're holding. He's holding it in his hand.
Yeah, the stone out of the amulet, though. That's what I'm trying to say. It goes flying off into the water. One guy just stares at it blankly like a moron for a moment, and then I guess jumps off the cliff after it. And we see he's about to land in bed with a little boy.
Jonathan Lipnicki just happens to be floating by.
Yeah, just floating in the water.
We all were like, what?
And this, sure enough, this is where Jonathan Lipnicki wakes up.
Tony Thompson.
I don't want to call him
TT.
Which Marvel character does he turn out to be?
It'll be Flash Thompson. And it'll be Venom.
Oh.
No, what was that? What was that X-Men character that was a green blob?
All of them.
Oh, man. I don't know.
What was the shitty mutant that just had three faces and that like that was his power?
Just, I think it was a He-Man character.
Just three manny faces.
He was a He-Man character essentially. He was about as useful as Mechanek.
Oh, I don't even remember that one.
He had great peripheral vision.
You're not gonna sneak up on me, motherfucker. That's a power.
So anyway,
I'm sad. Yeah. Anyway, he wakes up. TT wakes up.
I was kind of hoping for like an Enter Sandman moment, you know, where he wakes up in the bed and the Mack truck runs it over.
That would have been amazing.
You know, maybe like a big, you know, like a destroyer or something slams into it.
I would be totally on board with that. But instead, he just runs to his parents' room crying, falls on his face. But ultimately, they let him sleep there, although they bitch and moan about it because they need sleep.
Well, they need something. I don't know if sleep is necessarily it, but they're
we'll get that later.
Dude, we cannot deal with Rick Moranis Jr. having tantrums every night. It's like, let me tuck you in with this pillow over your face. Just close your eyes. Close your mouth.
One way or another, you're getting back to sleep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Their house, though, is fucking cool.
It's a castle. Yeah. It's like a house they're with living a castle in attached
castle house.
Yeah. It's like pretty sweet castle.
It's pretty much like if I won the lottery, that's what I'd want my house to be.
Yeah. I'm down for that. Mm-hmm. So he wakes up. They head him off to school, where we find out he's getting bullied.
Yeah, he's in Scotland.
Oh, yeah, he has moved to Scotland as well.
Everybody talks funny. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You mean beautifully? Like, has angel voices?
I don't know if I'd go that far for Scotland.
Whatever. Shout out to my Scottish listeners.
I'm just saying, not everybody.
Holla back.
I like a good Scottish accent, but not everybody.
So, I have a question. Why is this 4-year-old in this class with 10-year-olds? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, how old is this kid supposed to be?
Like, I think he's... I think he's a fetus, actually.
He's just really short.
Yeah.
This is pre...
I don't know what his deal is.
Pre-me fetus baby.
Oh, wait. Not...
He's still got placenta, like, on his hair.
I'm going to offend people anyway. Whatever. But with all the little Scottish kids and Jonathan Lipnicki there, I don't know about anyone else, but I got flashbacks to the Grinch movie made by Ron Howard when you had little Grinch in the class. Little who's.
Oh, so you're saying they should have, like, shaved... Jonathan Lipnicki?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. They could have. I mean, they could have. So he didn't do, like...
And he's going to grow up to be Jim Carrey in Once Bitten.
Yeah, they're in,
that's on the list, right? It is on the list.
I have no idea. I have no idea what you guys are talking about. So Rick Moran, the baby Rick Moranis is, like, ADRing his way through his class. And, so you know, like... After they filmed him, he went to a booth and told his teacher all about how he had this dream about vampires and how much he loves vampires.
Like, real talk, though. How awful do your lines have to be that they ADR you in with your own voice later on? Like, what? Like, how?
And you still can't understand a damn word he's saying.
Yeah, like, for, like, how?
I wonder what age you get that cut off. You know, we only have so many hours to work with a kid during the day. So maybe they just ran out of takes they could possibly take, and they're like, fuck it, just ADR.
That doesn't help.
Maybe. But it just sounded like he was trying to eat his own teeth the whole time.
That's the thing. I imagine it was probably all live recorded, but someone figured out, much like with Bane in The Dark Knight Rises, like, no one could understand him, so they had to re-record him and raise his levels so you could hear what he's saying.
Wait, Bane was re-recorded?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you, that's just how it, that was a choice. So
Truckosaurus shows up somewhere, somehow.
I wish. No, but this kid, he doesn't know to just shut his goddamn mouth. He's already an outcast, but he's like, I'm going to interrupt the whole class to talk about vampires and magic and amulets and whatever.
Yeah, this dream he's been having about this vampire cult.
I don't advocate bullying in any way, but I understand why these kids are beating them up after school. If you're fucking interrupting class with this, like, every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. Just like, oh, I know about that comet. Like, it's this comet. I saw it in a dream. Like, good for you. Like,
motherfucker, we're trying to go over our spelling words.
Yeah. We're trying to learn here. Well, I mean, I sincerely doubt that was their motivation, but, like... Mm-hmm. Our teacher is trying... Actually, the teacher should be beaming about the...
Well, it's Scotland, so they might actually genuinely be interested in learning.
Well, it's possible.
Yeah. Like, please stop. The teacher's going to make us watch that rectangle thing again.
Yeah, at one point, I thought maybe this was going to be like a DuckTales origin story. Mm-hmm. Like that one, the Fitz kid is like Glomgold. Jonathan Lipnicki grows up to be Scrooge McDuck.
Don't choke, Rob. Don't choke. Don't choke. Don't die.
That joke was that bad, huh?
Don't die. I can't edit. Don't die.
It went down the wrong pipe.
So did this movie. So
Thank you for sympathy coughing, Tony. So, I think I'm all right.
Anyway, the kid goes home. He's now, you know, he's drawing because he's got nothing else to do. His parents are about to go out for the night.
And because he's a sociopath.
He's drawing, like, bats and vampires and amulets and...
Yeah, all this shit from his dreams.
His Twilight fanfic. He's illustrating it.
He's about to live it, don't you worry.
Oh, no. The best part is coming up, like...
This is gonna be worth a lot of money someday.
But, yeah, I also like... His mom looks over at all this and she's like, oh, you're such a good artist. Like, you might want to have him talk to somebody. This like, is not acceptable.
Oh, great. I hope they invent DeviantArt soon. Okay, bye.
I mean, I don't know. When I was his age, I was always drawing, like, tanks and guys with guns. And
were you showing it to your parents?
What's that? If they were interested.
They weren't.
They probably weren't, yeah.
His brother was just taking it and beating him up.
Yeah.
To be fair, I drew a lot of...
And actually, I probably do need help. So, yeah.
Probably, you know, they should have. I also drew a bunch of, like, skulls and bats and whatnot. And I also had to see someone about it when I showed it to my art teacher. Mm. So, you know.
Well, that's because you drew giant dicks on all of them.
Dr. Coctopus.
Yeah.
Giant triumphant veiny bastard.
My favorite was the one riding the A-bomb.
So anyway, his parents leave him with Mrs. Doubtfire because they're going to go out to this gala event of some kind at their boss's house.
Were her lines unintelligible on purpose? Because I couldn't tell what the fuck she was saying. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could.
It's just me then, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't quote it to you now, but I remember understanding the words coming out of her mouth.
I guess you're one of the, you know, like you're siding with this family of not understanding the Scots.
Yeah, I'm sorry you didn't get the Anglo-Saxon dialect, but she wasn't speaking your street language.
Hey, Rob, fuck you. How about that?
Wait, I think Joe has something to say.
It was solid but deadly.
I think it was solid.
I may have to go to the bathroom.
Anyway, so we see their father works for this rich dude in town.
This rich dude in town.
Richie McFuckfuck. I don't know.
It's McAshton Kutcher.
Yeah, Lord McAshton Kutcher.
Also, like, the two kids have very different accents, so they clearly don't come from the same area. But, you know, hey. They're trying to talk to his teachers. His teachers are telling, his parents are trying to talk to his teachers. And he tells them, you know, kid's obsessed with vampires. I think there's something wrong with him. And they're like, okay.
Well, the teacher's distracted. He's just like, my, Tony's mom, what lovely baps you have. I would enjoy to motorboat those. Thank you and good day.
He did like that's what he wanted to say.
That's really what I thought. That's what he wanted to say. His eyes just went super wide. It's just like.
Well, yeah, you could hear the inner monologue was, don't look down, don't look down, don't look down. Don't look down, don't
look down. I have that every day. I'm like, don't look down.
But now we get to see there's a van down by the river. It's Vamp Kills Industry or something to that effect.
Was there writing on it? I didn't even notice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't even notice.
It's Truckosaurus.
Yeah. Oh, this is what you were trying to say with Truckosaurus.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And we get to see young Judd Hirsch
as a vampire killer. Yeah, we've seen this guy before.
Nowhere that I could tell.
I don't know. He looked like a more intense Michael Richards.
All right.
Yeah.
Michael Richards is pretty intense on his own.
Well, yeah, but like I'm more afraid of this, like getting into a fight with this man.
Hmm. Well, okay. All right. So.
Leaving that one alone.
Yep.
So, he starts talking about because he sees a bat. He knows must be trouble afoot. So he turns on a spotlight, starts chasing after this CGI bat.
It's the same model they used for Scooby-Doo, I think. It's just they put some wings on it.
Yep. That sounds about right.
It was a step above, like, David Bowie's Owl and Labyrinth.
Yeah,
which was like almost 20 years earlier or 15 years earlier.
But to be fair, it was better than the CG in a lot of the movies we've watched.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
up to and including the sharks from Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
But it takes a nosedive into little TT's bedroom because it sees him.
Are we calling him TT?
I am.
Little TT.
All right.
No, I'm going with Rick Moranis Jr.
Okay.
Actually, maybe Billy Swan.
Billy Swan.
Yeah. He's got like some serious got some serious Bella Swan disease. Like
yeah. But yeah, speaking of, he has now fashioned himself some paper teeth.
Dude. Guys, to everybody listening. Autism speaks. Sometimes it speaks loudly.
Let's not go there. So this is also, I don't fully understand, like, he wants to be a vampire, but he's afraid of vampires.
Well, what is that, like, you become so obsessed with that thing you're afraid of that you start doing the things that it does, and...
I guess, but at that point, don't you usually become not afraid of it anymore?
That's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
Well, not yet. He's running around with teeth, but he's still scared when this thing shows up.
Well...
Because, yeah, the vampire lands in his chimney. Turns into a little boy. It's trying to talk to him.
I think that's more just, he was scared because he got caught going down on the ketchup bottle more than anything else.
Yeah, the little kid, he put the teeth on in his mouth, the little paper teeth, put a hello cape on, and then poured ketchup on his teddy bear's neck and started biting the teddy bear's neck like,
Wait. I didn't see any ketchup on the neck. We don't know where on that.
Let's just give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I was just trying to...
Oh boy! Oh,
very much like this movie. I'm out for blood today.
So
this is my boyfriend, Heinz. We've been having a sexy party. Do you want to join?
No.
All right. So
this little dog rat thing flies into the window.
The answer is not no. This little boy would like to join his sexy party. So he comes in the window.
I do like that. At first, he's like, I got to kill this fucker.
Oh, yeah. I need blood. You've got blood. Guess how this is turning out. But I guess he's too weak at the moment, so he can't really do anything. So he immediately decides the answer to this, I guess, is to find a cow.
Well, the little kid was like, you want help? And Vampire the Kid is like, what? You gonna help me? What the fuck? No one's nice to me. I'm gonna fucking eat you.
I got nowhere else to go.
Matter of fact, he's like, I'm fucking leaving. Fuck you. I'm out this motherfucking window. And then he jumps out the window and they can't fly. Mm-hmm. And then has that little half second of where you hover in the air like in the cartoons. Did they even add like the falling sound effect? They add the whistle.
I thought the stupid sound effects don't show up till later on.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he just fell this time.
Yeah.
I think there might have been something, but it wasn't full on Looney Tunes sound effects yet.
I'm too weak. You have to nurse me back to health. Get some pudding. And then we, we start our little.
We go on a wagon through what looks to be dawn.
Yeah, for like apparently a day and a half.
Yeah.
I guess.
What's this called? A Yao comic?
What? What?
So anyway, so here we see the part of the movie that was inspired by Tom Green. So they go to a
gay anime comic reference.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Wait, what?
Okay.
So I think it's Yuri. I think that's what it is.
Is it? Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to butcher the language.
Your gay anime is right.
Well, I figured I I've thrown too much shade at DeviantArt lately. I think.
Why is that?
I figured I'd just give it a week off.
Okay.
Why is it that I throw shade?
Yeah. Never mind, that's just who you are.
That's what I do.
That's just who you are, that's who you are.
This is a podcast, though. I mean...
Also, have you ever been there?
Yeah, for real, though. Have you ever
been there? I mean, like, I've seen people's artwork up there, but, like, I haven't dealt... Like,
friends of yours.
Yeah, like, I haven't, like, delved into, like...
Yeah.
The realm of life.
There's some dark sides of DVD.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's fine if you're, like, in the family room once you go out to that backyard. That's it, man. That's it.
Do not go in the basement.
There's some skeletons in those closets, man.
Damn, Joe.
Okay, so
you understand this table does not have a tablecloth on it. Mm-hmm. So when you inevitably shit yourself, you're not going to have anything to wrap around your waist.
Mm-hmm. Don't shit in diabetes.
Yeah, don't. That's not okay. No.
What I'm hoping I do so I can just be like, I need to change my pants. I'm going home.
You already watched the movie. You might as well talk about it now.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
This is the easier part. Are you kidding me? Except for the part we're about to get to. This little vampire feeds on this cow. He first seduces it, then he feeds on it. As we will find out shortly thereafter, this has turned the cow into a vampire.
Yeah, like, what? How could you...
Vampire rules, Brian, don't...
Yeah. But, like, just if getting bitten turns you into a vampire, right, then, like, theoretically, you would burn through your pool of what you can drink from.
Oh, yeah.
Like, quickly, like...
Mm-hmm. There's only six cows in the pasture?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, whatever.
That's why we don't see anything past the end of this movie when he probably would have started eating the Thompsons.
Well, I wonder how long the blood lasts, though, because, like, presumably they needed blood because they were hurt. But if they, you know, if they're fine, maybe they don't need blood for a while.
Maybe.
Could be. Mm. Although this one boy takes down two cows in two nights.
Mm.
That's a lot of blood.
Yeah.
It's a lot of beef.
It's a lot of beef. But we get our first attack from the hunter here. He shows up and he's like, you know, sees Jonathan Lipnicki in the road. Sorry, TT in the road. Mm-hmm. And he thinks he's a vampire.
Well, I don't know if he does. He just does what any red-blooded American would do.
Kill it! Kill it with fire!
Yeah. Run over that thing.
That thing cannot be allowed to be in this world.
Yeah. So Rudolph saves him, and the two fly off to a blimp somewhere. Hang out. Have a good
time. Little blimp top bromance up here.
Yeah, so TT's dad owns a blimp for some reason? Sure.
No, his dad is in charge of building a golf course at this castle, whatever.
Right.
And the blimp is one of those advertisements that says golf course coming soon. Mm. So that's what it says on it. So it's one of those kind of, you type down, like it would be over like a used car lot, you know, like used cars. It's one of those kind of shits.
But yeah, they get a little FaceTime. You get a little bro time, you know, I don't know.
Use the blimp as a trampoline.
They do, which I was so hoping little T2 would slide right off the side. Mm,
would have been amazing.
Just puncture through it in one spot.
Any of that would have been great, but none of it happens. Instead, they end up, you know, they're like, it's time to go home. So first we should have a little, you know, romantic Superman style flight home.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just gotta hold on to the fingertips.
So is it just me, or does like... Does this kid look like Arya Stark?
Yeah, a little bit.
Dressed like a White Walker.
Like a little bit. I was trying to place it, but you're right. Like, so I hate this kid. I'm not quite sure why. And I'm like, oh, that's what it is.
Wait, why do you hate her?
I hate Arya Stark so much.
Really?
Yeah, she's an annoying little shit. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Hey.
You know, I liked her at first, then she got more and more annoying.
All right. You know, you gotta do you. Just sure. keep it down, man. She'll flip that coin and you'll be...
All right. So...
I don't Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to move forward. They go back to his house where, you know, the little vampire is like, I gotta go meet my family or whatever. But TT's like, no.
You can...
Hold up a minute.
You can stay.
You can spend the night.
Yeah, don't go.
Yeah, it's a room on this bed for two of us.
You don't gotta leave.
Starts taking off his shoes, lighting some candles.
Zipping his pants.
And the vampire's like, you know this chest right here? I'll get in that.
Jonathan Lipnicki's just like, hey, why don't we go in the closet?
I think you're already there. Anyway, so he ends up sleeping in the trunk. And
these two kids have more chemistry than Edward and Bella do.
They do, which is sad, but it's also more awkward.
And they have more common sense.
Yeah, flies and shit have more chemistry.
Well, I mean, that's a match made in
everything. That's Twilight, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like,
also, his acting's a little better than Bella's.
Mm-hmm. So, this is when he almost kills Rudolph by just like... In the morning, he's like, let me see if he's still there. Well, his freaking sun's up and like all the shades are open.
Well, he's like, did I dream it? Did I dream it? Is he really here still?
I got some man.
Did he just leave and not even say goodbye?
I just want to smell his clothes a little before I leave.
Which apparently smells awful.
How come that's never touched on really? Like
so
Yeah. There's a running gag at the beginning of this, at least, where whenever someone's in the room with this vampire, like, something smells.
Yeah, but they never
just the mom.
They never explain what it smells like.
No, because the dad smelled it, too.
Yeah,
the dad smelled it first. It was just those two. Like, no one else ever mentions it.
They never explain what it smells like. Like, I just assumed that, like...
I mean, if you're used to living in Scotland, you know what vampire smells like, I guess.
I guess. Or I thought maybe, like, you know, the 4 a.m. podcast satellite was passing overhead, and they could just catch a whiff of our... creamy soft serve dumps.
You mean Joe's ass?
Yeah.
Joe's ass.
In space, no one can hear you fart.
Just like just a fart cloud.
They sure can smell it, though.
It's not me.
Who's got the dings?
That was me.
It's not me.
Oh my gosh. This professional guy over here.
Yeah, I'm the epitome of professionalism. Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to read what's going on my phone rather than discuss this movie.
No one's listening. My phone number is
nobody would call it.
Nope. Nobody calls it anyway.
203 Rusty Poe.
This kid is
talk to me all day.
Rusty Poe.
All right, anyone want to explain that now?
Huh?
Nope.
No, just call it.
See what goes on.
Call it, see what happens.
All right, so the kid goes back to school. And he gets the most well-deserved ass kicking.
Yes, he does.
So he goes in to the two Scottish kids who are the sons of his father's boss.
Yeah,
like an entitled little shit.
Yeah, he gets a little nookie for the first time and starts walking around like he's the cock of the walk for some reason. And these two kids just beat the shit out of him.
It's just like, out of the way, losers.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just like in Twilight when Bella's trying to get herself killed just so Edward can save her.
I have not seen this movie.
You're not, you know what?
Are you afraid he's spoiling things? Is that the problem?
Listeners, don't forget to call in for franchise. At 203. 203, Rusty Ho.
No, for real. Call Rusty Ho.
Yeah, call Rusty Ho. Google it first, though.
Who's going to do that on a whim?
Look up. Never mind.
No, I guess we'll hear eventually.
So, so he's like, out of the way, losers. And these two kids who are the sons of his father's boss.
Yes.
Just kick the crap out of them.
They beat the shit out of
him.
It is well deserved, though. It is well deserved. Like,
and then that's probably the biggest issue with this. It's all just like, oh, isn't he so great? Like, he's our little protagonist. I'm like, no, I hate this kid. He sucks. Yeah.
Again, I don't advocate bullying, but like, if you just some kids walking around, like, just out of my way, loser.
Yeah, you're like, right to beat the shit out of him.
Put him in his place.
Right.
He's not better than you.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. It's not like he suddenly has confidence and can walk past them without being afraid or something. He is actively looking for a fight.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, critical scene. We also skipped over at this point.
I sincerely doubt that's true, but continue.
No. The farmer, he goes to check on one of his cows, and it has glowing red eyes.
Right.
Yes.
It's a vampire cow.
Hoof and mouth and all that.
Yep.
Vampire cow.
That's why the beef sucks in the UK. Excuse me. Mad cow disease and shit.
So... The kid goes home, finds out that TT goes home, I should say, finds out that Rudolph is gone. He has left the trunk. He didn't even leave him a goodbye note, not a dear John or nothing. So he's upset. I think he just goes to bed.
Yeah. I think Rudolph just kind of swoops back in at this point.
Yeah, and then he just kind of swoops back in. I guess he went to have another cow.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, I came back because you drew this picture of this amulet. Where the hell did you see that? I need to know. It's like, I'll tell you if we go on another date.
Fucking blackmail you.
That pretty much is it, though.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll show you that if you take a look at these jewels first.
How about this sack-filled bag?
God damn it.
I think I found your treasure. In my race car bed.
Oh, man.
So... Oh, this is what we find out about the Comet of Atmora, where that can change them back into regular people.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
He tells them the whole story.
They need the amulet to do it. Well, they need the stone from the amulet to do it.
Yeah, they need the stone to put it in the amulet so they can hold above their heads, chant a bunch of voodoo under the comet while wearing Reeboks and covering themselves with blankets or something.
I don't know. At this point, my eyes were just like swirling around in my head.
But we find ourselves back at a graveyard, which I guess is Rudolph's home. And we'll have where else would they live? Yeah. Until his, you know, his family comes back home. And we get to meet the rest of the sack.
It's time to meet the fuckers.
Yeah, it's always a weird second date when you got to meet the other person's
It's
family,
an awkward time. So, it's an awkward time.
Especially when you haven't come out to them yet.
Yeah, like, you know, wait a little while.
Dad immediately rejects him.
Yeah. You're not good enough for my kid.
Well, yeah, I mean, at first, but...
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Vampires don't cry.
He shows Dad his true worth.
Dad learns why Rudolph keeps him around.
Oh, God.
Now you even have me doing it. Fuck.
So there's...
We're two balls in a sack, Dad.
Tonight I need your sweet caress.
So we have the father, Count Chocula, the woman who I think is just from Hocus Pocus. We get the little girl.
You can't hear it, but we're being judged from the kitchen right now. And that girl had a big ass head. I mean, I have a big ass head, but like that girl, big ass head.
She's grown into it by now.
She absolutely does. She grows it. She's a Susan from the Narnia film series. She's
is that the older or younger sister?
The older.
Okay.
She's still got them lips though.
Yep.
She got a big ass head. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm
trying to say. We also get to see their other brother, Gregory.
Sweet ass mullet, yo. This kid's mullet is amazing. Like,
it is fantastic.
It's like a savage Ulta mullet. It's got like little extensions coming off of it.
It's multicolored too. Yeah. Like, he gives no fucks. You can tell he's the bad boy in the family. Yeah. he was like, I saw the movie Lost Boys. I saw the movie. Like,
He had like the B-striped vest.
Yeah, they seem to be going kind of like with an England-style punk rock type, but they kind of like dragged him through a redneck trailer park along the way. Like, it's sweet.
Well, he's like the punk goth in the family of classic goths.
Yeah. So they're about to eat this little kid when he's like, you know, Rudolph's like, no, I claimed him as my own. I love him, Dad. Don't do this. So they eventually, I think they were still trying to take him out when the kid, just like a jerk again, just grabs at his father's chest and takes hold of the amulet and,
awkwardness happens. So like,
grabs his tattoo.
There's some unacceptable faces.
I want to know what was the line in the script that said what the kid's response should be. Like, what word did they use to get him to make that face? like what direction
euphoric.
Was he, yeah, what direction yeah. was he given? Because his face, like, his eyes are, like, kind of rolling around. Like, it's like an old face. He's like, And then the vampire dad is just kind of staring at him.
No. You are not correct.
It's actually kind of the other way around, because the father is making O-faces.
They're both doing it.
No. The kid looks like he's either having a seizure or he's just spaced out.
No, but like the father's face, it's an O-face for a half a second, and then it kind of evens out into a stare. This kid's face stays that way. And
dad realized, what is happening?
It ends even worse. Like, his face goes something worse before it ends. It's like, what's happening right now?
Listen. Dad's just like, keep looking me in the eyes. Keep looking me in the eyes.
Don't look away.
Listen, that vampire. That vampire is like hundreds of years old.
Watch me do me.
His stamina is just not what it used to be. And Jonathan and Nicky had been practicing edging for several months.
God damn it.
Oh, man.
As I think I say every episode now, we're terrible people.
Yes, we are.
Oh, no one's denying that.
So,
oh shit!
So this gives them more clues as to where to find the stone.
So once they both finish, they take a shower. They get
separately.
Separately,
the vampire hunter, he does a run in at this point.
Yes,
with his stake launching air powered Gatling gun thing.
He sure does.
It's a pretty badass looking gun thing he had there.
It is. Yeah.
It was a little impractical. A little bit.
The hose running to the air compressor on the truck. But you know what I liked about though, because usually you see weapons like that and they wouldn't actually work. That one I felt was a lot more believable.
Okay.
Because of the compressor.
Yeah, like, you know, because otherwise you have these like I liked it better than say like the stake launcher from Dracula 2000.
I like a lot of things in the movie. Yeah. Dracula 2000.
like real the time. Vampire powers. Yeah, like,
I've seen it a few times.
The story actually made more sense. Yeah,
like, for real.
The acting was better.
Gerard Butler.
If I had seen this before, I saw Dracula 2000, and you asked us to name a movie you'd rather watch. I want to name this movie instead. It's just as foolish, but makes a little bit more sense.
I do not fully agree.
And it's only an hour and a half long.
Yeah. I will give you this. That cow makes a better vampire than Danny Masterson.
Yes.
I'll give you that.
Yes.
And
Jamar Butler. And the other guy.
Seven of Nine.
Seven of Nine, though. Oh, yeah. God. Jerry Ryan. that's the best thing in that movie.
Also far less commercial placement.
Yeah. There was no Virgin Atlantic megastore.
No.
There wasn't any commercial placement in this movie. Oh, well, no, that's not true.
Fictitious golf course.
And Timberland. it was Timberland, the shirt that he was wearing the whole movie.
Oh, I remember.
Timberland shirt. But, like, they could have put the compressor on a backpack, though.
I guess. You know, it's not the most practical weapon, you're right, because the kid just runs up and disconnects those. Yeah. But these vampires are fucking pushovers.
Yeah. They really are.
Yes. I won't say, as much as this, none of this stuff really should have worked as well as it did, if there wasn't a human element involved here helping them out, they would have been dead.
Yeah.
He would have taken them all out, so.
No, he's a working vampire.
And then, after the kid disconnects the hose, you would think the vampires would just swarm this guy and that'd be it. But no, he's got his neon tube cross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Presumably it's got like UV light coming out of it, I guess.
I would assume.
That's the theory.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's enough to push them back. They go hide in a hole. And I think it's around this. He's about to kill the kid as well when the caretaker of the graveyard shows up.
Yep.
So you get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Basically. Get off my lawn.
And that works. there's a hole. The guy's firing a flare gun into it. He's got other weapons on him and stuff. And you're just like, come back when the sun's up.
Yeah, you don't mess with a Scottish caretaker.
He did give him one hell of a point.
Yeah, come back when the sun's up.
Yeah,
they'll be asleep. Fucking come back then.
Then you can kill all the kids you want.
It's like, bro, did you ever watch Gargoyles? Just come on back. The sun's up.
So, that works. And now TT is interested in family crests because he saw the one of this woman who saved vampire that jumped over the cliff in his
that was his vision.
He has the stone apparently, so he needs to find out whose crest this is so he can find out where he might have gone and where he might be now.
Rudolph decides he's going to help out by dealing with the bullies that are bothering Tony.
So he goes into their bedroom at night.
I mean, this is it's kind of priceless, but it's kind of ridiculous at the same time.
Oh, no, this is awful. Because, again, if this was me and you, first of all, if you had, any humility or anything, you'd just be like, you know what? Let's send the vampire in there. Give them a good scare so they wet their britches, they realize vampires are real, and maybe they'll lay off me. But no, he's got to come in, be lifted up on Rudolph's shoulders, wearing...
I believe that was a cereal box?
Yeah!
It was a cut-up cereal box to be a vampire.
To make him look like Batman and claim that he's the Lord of the Underworld.
He's doing his Batman voice.
I think he had like a Spider-Man cheat as a cape or something like that.
I'll grant that he does have a better Batman voice than Christian Bale.
That's not hard to do, though.
No, it's really not.
Where's Rachel?
Well, you mean you don't want to sound like Clint Eastwood swallowed a beehive?
A whole beehive?
But I just want to imagine the conversation that he had
Vin Diesel.
With Rudolph was like, all right, man, let's go in there. And then I'm going to scare him. Like, I'm going to be like, you know, I'm the big bad vampire guy. Be afraid of me. And Rudolph was like, sure you are. All right. Let's try your way first.
I'll just back you up in case.
Yeah, just in case. I'll be there just in case you need my help after that. So, like, he starts doing his little spiel. And the kids are scared at first. They're like, wait a minute. That's that little motherfucker Tony. I'm fucking gonna beat his ass. Yeah.
Dude, that would have been like, so amazing. Yeah, they just so kicked great. His ass.
But Tony should, oh, it would have been so great to beat his ass.
And then we could have gotten puppet violence, which I love. Because
they would have thrown him out the window.
They could have just thrown a little dummy wearing a cereal box hat out the window.
And that's what, like, Rudolph could fly by and pick him up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just before he dies, he can turn him into a vampire. Everybody wins.
Yeah, yeah, it's like you're really chilling there, bud.
No, it's then Rudolph's like, I got this. He's like, I'm a fucking vampire, kids. Leave him the fuck alone or else I'll fucking eat you. Like, fucking
check out my batwing ears.
Yeah. Not even ears, because I was like, okay, maybe he made his ears into wings.
Yeah.
But at one point, they show a closer shot, and it's behind his ears.
Yeah.
So what the hell is this?
Come out his head.
He chugged a Red Bull before he went in there.
Yeah. Give you wings, you know?
Dude, you are not Beetlejuice. This is not okay.
Well, it was an off-brand Red Bull. It was like a beige horse.
Is red balls?
Drink some red. Yeah, you probably did that.
Yeah, people still steal balls. Red balls. It don't give you diarrhea. All right. So
now at school, the tables have turned.
Oh yeah. So again.
Now Tony's the asshole.
Does he just say, "Hey, you have to stop picking on me"? Does he say, "Hey, maybe we can hang out and be friends"?
No, he's just a dick.
Just a dick.
Which he makes them call him master, and they have to carry all his stuff. What a prick.
Yeah.
He's a dick.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a taste of power now, and it has gone to his head.
Yep.
See, you're obsessed with being, you're afraid of something, and then we get the chance, you want to become it. So that's what this kid does.
Hubris has consumed him.
Yeah.
All right.
I do wish it had paid off, though. Like, there's a scene later on in the movie where he sees them again. Like, I wish it would have paid, like, where they helped him accomplish, like, his ultimate goal.
Like if he learned a lesson, maybe? Right.
Yeah, I wish it had paid off.
It paid off where those kids were on the cliff, and they're like, the vampires are all gone now? Okay. And just beat the snot out of him.
I wish that was John's house that the vampire kid tried to scare him in.
Oh, man. He'd have been like, yo, can you bite me?
Vampires are gone now.
He's like, yo, I sleep with like three swords and a snake.
And a steak.
Well, in that case.
Let me fat this one out real quick and then.
But he's going to do that with his left hand while I'm running him through.
Well, we'll get there. In the meantime. They're at. TT's dad's boss,
Lord Ashton.
Yeah, they're working. Yeah, they're all working on the new golf course. And here's what we get: Rookery.
Yeah. Yep, Dice Clay's dad. That's what it looks like. Like Hickory Dickory Dock.
That is definitely how he dresses, but he looks like he should have been in place of Jeff Goldblum as Judd Hirsch's kid in Independence Day.
Oh, is Brain Crusher on the list? We could put that one on.
Oh my god.
Brain Crusher?
Haggis Dice McClay III.
Yeah, no, Brain Crusher is Andrew Dice Clay's the one where he's fighting all the ninjas and there's like some like magical flower thereafter.
Wasn't like Ford Fairlane, isn't that?
That is not the same movie.
Andrew Dice Clay movie.
That is a Dice Clay one as well. That one stars Terry Hatcher's in that one too.
Oh.
Yeah. Well then.
Anyway. Back to the one we're actually doing right
the
now.
The fake Andrew Dice Clay comes in and...
Yeah, you guys are infested with vampires.
Yeah, it's like he comes in like Quint from Jaws. He's just like, I'll get your vampires.
You want to get the chalk? I'll get the chalk.
So he goes, like, I guess now he's just got carte blanche to kind of do whatever.
Well, everybody laughs at him, but Lord Ashtone takes him aside and he's like, I kind of think you're right. I don't know why, but I kind of think you're right. So why don't you find some evidence and come back to me?
However, I am not going to believe you until someone gets hurt.
Yep. Yes. Because
Until someone's bitten, I ain't buying.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, he's a Scottish lord. I guess that kind of makes sense.
Sure.
So back to the graveyard.
He's like, fuck you. This shit ain't really real, right? Mm-hmm. So.
So Rooker's like, that's okay. I know just the dupe to get killed.
But see, you fell into the trap that I did. It's not Michael Rooker playing this guy. His name is Rookery. And I've been trying not to call him Rooker this whole time. Because it would have been much more badass to have him played by Michael Rooker. So
Mary Poppins, bitches.
I finally saw that, so I get it now.
I'm going to the bathroom. Do not stop on my accord.
Don't flush.
I will not.
Well, just follow the rules of hippiedom. If it's brown, flush it down. If it's yellow.
Let it mellow.
Say it should only be blue?
Double D, double die, double D, double
yeah,
die.
I mean,
I did say that, and I don't know why.
If it's somewhere in between, make sure you check your ween.
I got a blue house with a blue and
holy shit, you know way too many of those lyrics.
Yo, man, that was my shit.
And a blue Corvette and everything I do is blue.
That was my shit when it came out, yo.
I own that CD.
Yeah, don't judge me.
I'm not lying. I hate all of you.
We know. We know this.
So anyway, he goes. Hail Hydra.
What were you saying?
So Rookery goes back to the graveyard, and this time he takes the caretaker with him. He's like, yo, let's recreate a scene from Ghostbusters 2. We're gonna go down into the slime, and you're going first, pal.
Yeah, so he's already been into this graveyard without this guy's permission. He set up this whole compartment to lower him down on this wench. And he's just like, yeah, dude, go in there, see what happens, because I was told I need somebody to be bitten. Have at it, my friend.
Yeah, like, he has them all like, this fucking, it's like ice fishing, like, winch, like, he lowers him down in there.
yeah, it doesn't take long for this guy to be attacked by Gregory, the little punk rocker. And so now he's like, well, all right, I'm just going to pull him back, and now I'm going to... I guess even before waiting to get his, you know, I don't know, his agreement to get paid for this or whatever, but he tosses a some kind of light contraption down there.
Something.
And it's got like, it's like a disco ball of all these, I guess, UV lights. And it's supposed to, it's hurting all these vampires, but the dad kind of jumps in front of me. He's like, I got this.
Yeah, and this is like... It's kind of a big deal for me. So he does have this big light.
Reminds me of that. Sorry, no one's gonna care. But this reminds me of that one episode of Angel where Doyle dies.
Sure. Yeah. It totally reminds me of that too.
That. Yeah, I remember that episode.
I was joking. So.
Yeah, you do one. Yeah. Never mind. What?
I lost my train of thought. So okay.
So Count Chocula's getting fried.
Yeah, Count.
TT comes back and he's like, I can handle this shit. I just chuck a rock at it and yeah, that works.
You know.
So dude, they're the worst vampires, really. Like,
they really are.
But this doesn't make any damn sense because like it takes out one light and that just stops the whole thing.
Well, and
like,
those light bulbs had cages over them to prevent that.
They did.
Yeah, like,
it doesn't make any sense.
Mm. Well, he's half vampire now.
Yeah.
He's had a vampire, not bitten, but potentially
twice.
He's got part of a vampire.
You have a little vampire in you? Would you like some?
Yeah, a little vampire inside. So, but this UV light lays up this head vampire for the rest of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really? Like,
he's done so.
It's like convalescing.
He's down for the count.
For the next half hour. What did you say?
Down for the count.
Down syndrome.
It was a funny.
So, anyway.
So now the little girl vampire falls in love with Jonathan
for some reason.
No reason at all. Gives him dead mouse.
This is when like Gregory's like, you know, we could just kill these people. Let's just go kill that
he's
guy.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
He's not
like
wrong.
We're vampires. Well,
and I wrote this down. Like, I wrote down actual interesting dialogue.
Yeah.
Because they do. They start having this conversation about like, why are we? And this is a kid's, like, this is definitely a kid's movie. But Gregory's like, he's challenging the head vampire, his father, but not as like just a snotty kid. He's challenging him as like this other vampire that's been around for hundreds of years. Like,
well, his mullet would not allow him to just like cower in a graveyard.
Yes. Yeah.
I have to show off this badass mullet.
Yeah.
Fucking let me go be a lost boy.
Yeah.
But also the father counters with a mullet like that, no one's going to follow you. It's not happening, dude.
That's fair.
But like, yeah, he has a valid point. He's like, apparently everyone we feed from turns into a vampire. So if we feed, we'll heal and get stronger. They will become part of our army. We could take over this place in no time.
Yeah.
Rook will be nothing. But the dad's like, no, because kids movie, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. He invokes the child.
Plus, I'm kind of sore now. <He's> like, I got a sunburn. I don't want to move.
That flashlight was really bright, yo.
I'm too weak. But it's okay, because we have an interlude now where the vampire girl gives Jonathan Lipnicki a mouse.
They first go and they feed on all the cows.
Feed on the cow, and then move into his basement.
Yep.
Yeah, he moves the whole vampire family into his basement because dad is just, you know, he's out of work now. He's laid up.
Yeah.
He's on disability. He can't.
He didn't have Affleck. Hold down his job. Yeah.
And then Anna, who even the movie can't give a damn about.
Yeah.
You know, gives him a dead mouse.
But we also get this one of the more awkward scenes. Because she gives him the mouse. Because I guess it's supposed to give him great luck.
Well, it's like when you take in a stray cat and the cat likes you.
I was thinking the same thing, and I'm sure that was the intent.
But he's in bed when this happens.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, how you doing?
She's like right up in his face.
Oh, yeah. And then follows that by saying, if you ever need me, you just need to whistle. You know how to whistle, don't you?
Oh, and short answer, no, he absolutely doesn't.
He does not know how to.
He's just sitting like, I don't know how to use my mouth, that's why I use my hands.
Yeah, which apparently they felt we needed to see every second of. But yeah, it just keeps cutting back to her, like, just put your lips together and blow. And
he's like, can you go get your brother?
That'll get my lips moist. Wait, what is happening?
I don't know what's happening right now, but I'm uncomfortable. I am uncomfortable.
But also,
so anyway,
as I mentioned before, the way this is presented, for a moment there, I honestly thought she meant he needed to whistle into this rat's ass.
Yeah. Well, I thought so too.
It's gonna be a whistle of some kind.
So, all right, let's jump ahead a little bit. So, the kid, through his weirdo visions, finds out that there was this, I'm not entirely sure what happened.
We did skip one thing.
Yes.
Okay. The vampire hunter, Rookery, he did dangle down the guy from the cemetery.
We got there. You were in the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about that.
You said not to stop.
Cemetery guy's a vampire now. Just cut that short there.
Oh, but, yeah. We should have mentioned that, I guess. But anyway.
So the kid finds out through his visions that, what's the guy's name? Ashton?
Lord Ashton.
Ashton's like great-great-great-great-grandmother or whatever.
Yeah, someone in his family found Elizabeth this missing McAshton. Vampire that has this this gemstone or whatever, this magical.
Yeah, but like it was like stone. Vampire Romeo and Juliet situation. Yeah. Like they fell in love.
Yeah, we don't really know all that yet.
But and anyway, she has an amulet that she, you know, that they need in order to like focus the comet to lift their vampire curse or whatever. And they find out that she buried it in Jonathan Lipnicki's room like a long time ago.
Well, his house is in the room.
Yeah, I sure am.
Oh, yeah, that's quite a jump ahead.
But. Yeah, that's fine.
Right. I think we do miss at one point.
I mean, we can talk about stuff that happens in between there, but I just want to like fill it in so we don't have to go over it again later.
At one point, Rookery has the same amulet.
He has his own amulet. I guess that's supposed to be able to like kill all the vampires.
But it's unnecessary to add to the movie. It's unnecessary at all.
It doesn't have any effect on anything.
I guess they felt it was a stronger reason for him to go after the Sorcerer's Stone. But it's like, how about he's after it just because he doesn't want the vampires to get what they want?
Yeah, like it's all...
Like, he could just simply be misguided and think it'll make the vampire super strong or something.
Because I honestly thought it was going to be a twist where he'd get it at the end, and they perform the ritual, he steals the thing, puts in his own amulet, and, you know, whatever, and his wish is granted, but his wish is the same thing that they wanted, where they're no longer vampires. And it'd be like, I didn't realize it was, you know, we're all basically fighting for the same thing. Like, that would have been something.
Yeah.
But no,
he wants to murder them.
Nothing.
Yeah.
They want them to not be cursed anymore, and he wants to murder them.
But I mean, well, yeah, well, we don't even know yet that the thing just grants wishes, apparently. But, like, I thought the whole point was the amulet would just make them not be vampires and take away the curse, which is what they want, but it's kind of what he wants, too. He wants them to die. Yeah, but if they had just not been vampires anymore, he probably would have been like, oh, well, whatever, fine, you know?
Speaking of things being vampires, now we find all the cows are vampires and they're hanging upside down in the barn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That probably is like the most ridiculous part of this movie.
Yeah.
Is the fucking cows.
I'm sure they threw that. They probably were like, I mean, because some of these like scenes could be, I guess, a little intense for like younger kids. Because they do have like they do have a lot of like flashing strobe light action,
sexual awakenings,
weird sexual awakenings. Homoeroticism is off the charts. So they're probably like, yeah, we need to throw this in here just to break it up a little bit so kids can like laugh and get some of their endorphins going. Otherwise, they're going to be like just screaming all night long.
Better than Jar Jar, but...
Oh, man.
Honestly, the most ridiculous part is not these cows hanging from the ceiling. It's that this guy just goes, and closes the door and doesn't, like, come back with a shotgun or set the barn on fire. Like, there's no way he's just okay with this.
Well, he's a Scotsman. Some things you just let nature take its course, man.
Okay, sure.
Well, all right.
Say so. So, T.T., just, of course, because he's like, I gotta find out about this family crest. So it's just handed to him like everything else. Because it happens to be Lord Ashton's. And he's like, I'm gonna go with you to work tomorrow. And I'm gonna investigate this. And he sees that Ashton is talking to Rooker at one point. And they're hatching some kind of scheme or whatever. Because this is where we find out it's his great ancestor. Mm-hmm. Happens to have the Sorcerer's Stone. And some necklace or whatever. And so they go to check on her crypt to try and make sure that she's actually in it and not a vampire herself.
He follows them.
TT follows him down there.
Stops to be a dick to the bullies again.
Yep. Yeah. So like that, there's where I wish it would have paid off. He was like, hey, I'm trying to find this. Can you guys help me? And like they helped them and like they become friends. Like I would have liked that little payoff.
Yeah. Oh, you mean character development?
Yeah.
Like, if the two of them saved him from the crypt or something like
that. Like I would have liked the little payoff.
Well, if it was like, I need to sneak in here. Can you create a diversion or distract my dad? Something?
These kids are just like, no. Oh my God. So he was like, a raging clue right now.
Crawl to your room on your hands and knees and go hide in your bed. I said crawl. And you're like, okay. And
do what your dom tells you.
Poor Fitz. See, that's why Fitz... I don't want spoilers for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Never mind. I'm not going to spoil that. Right.
That's why Fitz became a S.H.I.E.L.D. member.
Yeah, spoiler alert. He pays women to step on his nuts. So, we got...
or PNL, I don't know.
Maybe both.
Okay.
Try some of column A.
Okay.
Column B.
He ends up just, you know, being an ass like he normally is and falls in this crypt because we find out the crypt is empty. The body has, in fact, been moved or has moved.
It was buried with her lover, Vaughn Sackville Bag. And this is when you first find out their last name is Sackville Bag.
Yes.
And there was much groaning in the room.
I was waiting because, like, I read the IMDb like while we were watching it, and I started laughing. And I was gonna like say it. Tony said, "No, Brian, wait. Just wait until it shows up."
Yeah, when I gathered the cast list, I was just like, "Wait, what?" No. Sure enough. Anyway, so yeah, the kid falls in this open crypt, and Rooker is just like, "You know what, kid? You can stay there and just close this thing."
Yeah. See you later. But in all fairness, that's correct.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you should have. He should have knocked him out first, but whatever.
That's when, what's his name here? TT goes on to be the guy in the Unforgiven video.
Yes.
Dwelling in darkness until he's an old man.
Eating rats. Eating
rats. Rookery did the double check. He's like, he asked him real quick. He's like, hey son, is your dad Liam Neeson? Kid's like, no. Oh, all right. Well, you're getting buried in a coffin. Bye.
But he didn't know he had that mouse ass whistling.
He didn't know he had a dead rodent in his pocket. I mean, he should have, because that looks like a kid that always has a dead rodent in his pocket.
But sure enough, Mrs. Bighead hears him, and she's like,
oh, come on.
Yo, she got a big ass head. Like, Just because she's an adult now, she's cute now, don't mean she didn't have a big ass head when she made this movie.
She had a big ass head, and she was thirsty as hell.
I don't have anything against anyone in this movie or that made this movie, and if you like this movie, that's fine, but we're here to make fun of it, so what?
Another to my point of why being a kid vampire is the worst. Like, being a little, like, so she's forever trapped at the age where, like,
she has a big ass head.
No, that too, but, like, you get, like, weird crushes. Like, girls get weird crushes on shit. Like,
she's like, I'm a cougar now.
That's why I said, like, tell that to Kirsten Dunst, because she's sitting there, like, you asshole, you made me like this when I'm a little kid. I'm never going to grow up.
Midway through puberty.
Yeah, it's the worst time. The worst time.
Fuck you, Brad Pitt.
No, I can't, because I'll never be old enough to. She's mad as fuck.
I want you to paint me like one of your French girls, but no.
But you look too weird.
Too weird. Weird as fuck.
So, so young lady Big Head and Schmedward Schmullen have to, what's his name? Arya Stark have to go.
Like, Rudolph.
Rudolph. Yeah, that's right.
Rudy.
So they dressed up as a red-nosed reindeer. Yeah,
they donned their finest red tapestry.
They really did. So, yeah, they basically dress up as medieval times.
Or
jesters.
I don't even know what. They're just wearing a carpet or a blanket or something. And they're sneaking out of the house.
And that's enough to foil the sun.
But I also
foil the sun and this
child. They had foil on as well. Yeah. That was how you knew it would work, because they had foil on.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, at this point, the dad who had taken TT to work and then TT just disappeared, just comes home without his kid. He's like, oh, here you are. I'm pissed, but I guess you're playing with your friend, so I'm just going to let that happen.
I think
you are a terrible father.
I think you need to read a little bit deeper into this.
He was like, oh, my crazy ass kid has an actual friend? The kid's real? Okay, I'm going to let him have his, and then I'm going to go have my fun.
No, I think Brian's missing out, too. My creepy ass kid that always interrupts us in the middle of the night to sleep in our bed with us is missing? Oh, darn. Let me go home and look for him.
Fair enough.
Mom, though.
Oh, you're here. You're playing with a friend. Okay. We'll work on a punishment later. Why don't you just get the hell out of here? I got to take your mom to Pound Town.
That is fair, because the mother just says, well, as long as he's playing, we have the house to ourselves. Let's do this.
Yeah, I got a 7-year buildup. This is going to be. You better pick out a new wall color.
Never mind. I'm going to.
Yeah, she's still there.
Till death do you part, Rob.
Might be sooner than later.
So,
Yeah.
Just so.
So, we.
It's not gonna help you.
Now this is when Tony gets his vision here about the stone in his room.
Oh yeah, the character. Gosh.
Yeah.
Because we find out there's a under the ground somewhere is this other tomb that has the Ashton woman and this other vampire Vince Vaughn or whatever.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn. No, you got it.
They find that.
Yeah, the rat leads them to it.
That right, the rat.
Yeah, I mean, it only makes sense because he has the maybe that's an ancestor of the mouse, the mouse ass he whistles into. Maybe it's the ancestor, so he's a rat whisperer now. So.
That little rat just came out. I was like, Fievel? Fievel? But also at this point, little Big Head is trying to recite poetry to TT, but he's just staring at
one crap.
Because he's busy staring at Edward going, you sparkle in the sunlight. Like, it's real awkward. My friend. So they go running off. They find this other crypt. It's got a ward on it and whatever. They break through that. They find this couple.
Well, they break through it because Rookery dude, he has a giant drill. He's drilling holes through the yard.
Oil.
He knows it's somewhere in the yard. He doesn't know where, so he's just drilling.
Like, by this point, he's told Lord Ashton, is like, just let me do what I want or I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah. Like, he legit says that. Like,
he found Reptilicus by now, and he's like...
He's drilling random holes all throughout the yard, and he happens to luck to be right... His last hole is right on top of this ward that they have to get broken.
So they find the couple in there. They've both been staked. And this is where he gets the vision touching her. And he finds...
again.
Yeah, it's buried in his house. This must be why he's been getting all these visions and so on. But I also like, at this point, because we don't know how vampires work in this
also why world. He has radiation poisoning.
Probably. But we don't know how vampires work in this world. Did no one think to, like, try and take the stake out and see if these two would come back?
No.
They're just like, fuck it, leave them. So they go off. They're, like, trying to get into the house.
You wouldn't do anything. This dude got hit with a flashbulb from a camera. He's been out this whole movie. Like,
fair.
The stake through the heart. They're just done.
But, you know, it never came up, but I'm sure he explodes when exposed to silver, too.
I'm actually surprised, like, since you mentioned that, like, being a kid's movie, that they...
Showed it?
They would have them pull the stakes out, and they're like, oh, they're fine. Look, no one's really dead in this movie. Yeah. Like,
But I don't know. Maybe that would have been too much to see them pulling a stake out of somebody's body.
That might, but like, you don't have to show that. You could have been like, you know, I mean, this drill point, comes down like, oh, the ward is broken, and they can just get back up. Yeah,
at this point, they're doing like all the crazy sound effects. They could just pan to a different shot and have like the they're like, you know, sound as it comes.
Then they would have had to pay those actors for dialogue.
Though. Yeah, true.
Are your cork popping? I don't know. But apparently. Rooker also just knew this was the time to drop a mic down this hole because he hears this conversation. So now it's a race to get back to their house. He's going full The Shining on their door.
Well, he's trying. He's shining their door, that's for sure. What's his catchphrase when he breaks through?
I'm coming. I'm coming for that sack filled bag.
Hey, little kid, I want those jewels.
I want a little TT in the Sackville bag.
I'll shine them up for me real nice.
So they just destroy this kid's floor. They find this the Sorcerer's Stone, but Rooker breaks in. He grabs TT, jumps out the window.
He's got the electric cross.
He does have his electric
cross. Yeah, he's got his weird, like, mat thing that blows up. And he just jumps on it.
He might as well just have the Mario boots, because fucking whatever.
It's like a little one-time use bouncy castle. Yeah. He just throws it on the ground. It's a
disposable bouncy castle.
He's a Batman villain.
He doesn't even do a tuck and roll. He just jumps on it.
Yeah, there's no way you're landing on that and it's breaking your fall and you're still going to be standing when you land.
Like Tony said, it flattens like a Goomba when Mario jumps on it.
But so he gets in the truck and he's driving off. Presumably to this cliff, because he needs to be there for this ritual as well, I guess.
Yeah, oh, and Gregory is called the rest of the clan for the ritual.
Oh, yeah, Gregory's using the empty part of the amulet as a vuvuzela to call everybody over.
All right, so this is when, fucking Rudolph comes to the rescue. Oh, the vampire cows come to the rescue.
Rudolph comes to the rescue. this is where he runs into some cows on the road. Apparently, it was the vampire cows adhering to the call.
To call the brother. The brother stole his necklace and was making the call.
So Rudolph shows up and he gets the cows on his side and they show up in front of this truck.
They're flying.
They're flying cows.
They're flying cows. They're flying cows. Now.
Yep. They just used the asset from Twister.
Yes.
We got this flying cow animation.
Yeah, we still got this load in the computer. We could use it.
Sure.
So they fly in front of the truck, but the guy's like, I could just turn on the lights and drive forward. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, yeah, that works.
Well, one of the cows is like, here's what I think of all that.
Yeah, yes.
This was like...
This cow.
This may be my favorite part.
Lays the steamiest, creamiest fourth meal Taco Bell dump on this windshield.
It's like the whole windshield is covered.
It shits on the windshield. Like, legit, it turns around and shit flies from his ass. Almost like that video with the chimp in the zoo that throws the shit and like hits her in the face, like right in the nose. It's like that, like, wow, well, take that.
Yeah. He had the sunroof.
This goes open. Here now.
So like some of that should have been in the cab.
Also, if you have a vampire hunting truck, don't have a sunroof.
Yeah, don't have a sunroof at all. Yeah.
That's never gonna work in your favor, as we'll find out. After a couple of pointless fights between TT and Rooker, with him trying to steal back the Sorcerer's Stone. He gets it. TT gets it back. Rooker gets it back from TT, or so he thinks.
It's just a big dumb kerfuffle.
Yeah.
Kerfuffy.
Finally,
Rudolph flies in.
Yeah, Rudolph just snatches him out of the roof.
No, he's like, turn off the lights.
Right. So he could fly in. He's like, I got you, Lois. And they fly out. And Rooker is like, oh no, I'm going off a cliff. And we just see him go over the cliff.
Yay. But because he can't die. Well, we think that he can't die. They have his truck catches the blimp. So it floats down gradually into the water. It doesn't like crash. Kind of floats down.
Yeah.
All right. We gotta rewind slightly because something else is happening. We kind of skipped over.
Was Child Love? No, we covered it.
Yeah.
The lemon party.
Well, basically, yeah.
Oh yeah. That's
yeah. It's when the parents they're getting dinner ready now after their. I imagine it probably only lasted like 2 minutes of coitus before the 7-year buildup blew.
Oh, well, that's not fair. No,
after the buildup, like, I don't think they even got up the stairs.
Yeah.
I think hubby was just like, all right, I'm done.
That's why he was wearing the apron to cover his pants.
Oh, he blasted a hole in the front of his pants.
But then in come the Sackville bags.
Oh, man.
With the seduction spell.
Oh, yeah.
It's that presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is straight up like a wife swap kind of deal here.
Like,
he's like, just put your keys in the fishbowl, okay?
Yeah.
Like the Sackville bag wife, she knocks on the door and the husband opens the door and he's like, oh. She's like, what's up?
I'm spent again.
She's like, sup, what's your name is? He's like, whatever you want.
I don't remember anymore.
And then, the wife comes over, and then, the Mr. Sackville bag comes out and goes, yo. And she's like, sploosh.
All right, I might not be disappointed.
I don't honest to God, one of the parts, this is true, is they say something to the effect of, like, we need to talk to you about Tony. And they have a reaction like, who's Tony? They don't even remember their kid.
We can make more.
Might make some tonight. What do you say?
So anyway, jumping back to this big vampire.
So all they're all there now.
Vampire weekend,
gathering the juggalos. Yeah.
So it's the vampires and the parents.
Well, yeah, they get to this cliffside to see Little Mullet, his thing, and suddenly all the other vampires start showing up as well. It is the gathering. They get a pass because they're
Fago is flowing like wine.
Like, I don't understand. There are juggalos? So
I don't either.
Well, yeah, and I know some people who are. There are so many vampires that show up here, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's one fucking vampire hunter.
Yeah,
one.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't have just called them to beat this fucker up.
These vampires are friggin' pushovers.
Come on.
Really bad.
This is what I'm saying. It's the only reason they don't is because Count Chocula there is like, yeah, we shouldn't be hurting people. Apparently, not even really eating, from what I could tell. Because apparently, if they were, everyone around would be a vampire.
But it doesn't matter because we got a big square-jawed American here. So this vampire hunter gets out of his van. He's like, I'm going to wreck your whole day.
Yeah, T.T. and Rudolph show up with the stone.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up. Rooker here shows up. He's like,
does a run-in on his blimp.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was it was the weirdest run-in. Because, they got the stone. They're doing the little ritual. Everything's going good. And then, this big thing flies in front of the moon.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking dirigible that fucking the dude. And
there's a magic moonbeam that it flies through.
Yeah, fuck did he even guide the shit over there? How the fuck did you control? He's hanging on by a rope, Aeroflan?
It's not the Macy's Day Parade where you could just steer it.
How the fuck? What powers you got?
Shit. Flying in on a cat in the hat.
It's basically just a 2-liter bottle of soda from Food Fight.
that's what it is.
Except the monsters here are less scary than the people in that grocery store.
It just flies somehow. So, yeah. He comes in, he kicks the crystal out of the dude's hand. And, Papa Thompson here, Bob Thompson, he's just like, just kick his ass, look.
just hit him. What the hell are we doing here?
The mom and dad just fuck him up.
Not only hits him, just knocks him off the cliff.
Yeah, they push him off the cliff like legit.
For like for real this time.
This is how we do shit in California.
Cops him off fucking
Fuck your kids movie.
America. And that's so
Yeah, in this process, we're led to believe he kicks the Sorcerer's Stone out of the Rooker's hand, and we're supposed to believe that little TT with his nubbin legs can make it over to get this catch.
Well, he jumps like Luigi.
This kid is incapable of moving in a straight line.
How could he jump like Luigi? Well, okay, no. Oh, all right.
Super Mario 2.
Well, yeah, because I was going to say, how can he jump like Luigi when he looks like Toad? But Toad did that in Super Mario. That's why I stopped.
I'll get it!
Jesus. So he gets both pieces. They finally have the Dragon Balls all together. He can make his wish. And, you know, we see some shines and whatnot and special effects, and everybody just kind of turns to dust.
Effects.
I mean, it does make sense that he would catch it. He's been trying to catch a sack filled bag all the whole movie, so.
This is not the first one, Brian.
He's been trying to catch those family jewels the whole movie. So.
Because he finally said, if you like it, you better put a ring on it.
So now the vampires get their wish, and like
we're all
sitting there like waiting. Okay, so they're just gonna turn into people, or are they just gonna get normal clothes? What's gonna happen? No, they all disappear. Turn to smoke. They're all gone. I'm like,
good job, dude. Your friends are gone. Is that what you wish for? Like what?
So the movie cuts to like
Farmer's
market.
They turn to dust, which I honestly thought was like, you know, even if you turned them to people at this point in their life, they'd be long since dead. Yeah. So yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
That would be great if they turned to people and then Beetlejuice style, they just rapidly aged real quick.
Yeah.
And like Rudolph goes to say bye and he's like, bleh, and his jaw falls off.
So the Tommy Thompson twins are like all the Thompsons are at this farmer's market and they're all spying fruit or whatever. And so we see a moving van unloading and off come these two normal looking kids. And it's Rudolph and his sister. But I guess they're playing hard to get or whatever. And
I don't understand any of it because he looks at them and he's like, hey, it's me, it's TT. And they look at him like, who the fuck you think you are?
Yeah, like,
the little girl even is like, I'm getting my shit and getting out of here. She goes back, grabs that suitcase.
Go away, creepy ass looking kid.
This kid's
I'm
like,
chill.
This kid's like, you don't recognize me, Miss really, 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 really big head?
He whistles at her like, yo, what's up? What's up, ma?
Yeah. Just the whistle. Well, the funny thing is, again, it's not even the little girl, but the little boy that first turns around with that big smile on his face, like, I know those lips.
You whistling at me? Yeah. Oh, shoot.
I don't know where this is going.
Stop it.
Run, stop.
Fucking Gregory comes out. This Iron Maiden tank top.
And the skunk.
Still mess. Having the mullet.
Yeah, and the mullet. Skunk on his head.
Yeah. The mullet has reached a new level.
Oh, that
or going down a stage. I'm not sure.
He's officially Joe Dirted himself.
Yeah, it's all the length with none of the spike, and it's just awful. Oh,
he's already discovered crank.
Yeah, so the whole vampire family comes out, and they're all normal now, so and then the movie ends.
Yeah, and even the cows are back in the stable, and hooray, everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And that's the little vampire from the year 2000.
Year 2000.
Fuck.
Okay, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 55%. Audience gave this a score of 54%. That is their personal thoughts and recommendations on this movie. What about you and yours, Brian?
I kind of enjoyed this movie. Like, I, as crappy as it was, like, I kind of enjoyed it. Like, if I was a kid, I probably would want to watch this. Like, real talk. I don't know. It was like I was saying before, like, I enjoyed this more than Dracula 2000. So, I would watch this over that. Like, real talk. I mean, except for Vitamin C, City, and Jerry Ryan. Like, that's really it. Dracula 3000. I mean, I'll give it like a soft recommend only for certain situations. Like, say you had a kid with you and you wanted to find something the kid to watch, you still might think it's a little funny too when you watch it. I would say go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rob.
All right. So I'm not going to recommend this.
That's fine.
But at the same time, I'm in total agreement with you. Like, this for me is easily the best vampire movie to watch on the podcast. It held my attention for at least the whole movie. And I would say I agree with the critics and audience. I'd put it right around maybe 50%. Yeah. Like, I could go either way on it. If somebody was like, hey, you have to watch this movie again, I'd be like, all right, that's fine. But if somebody said, hey, you want to watch Dracula 2000 again, I'd be like, you know what? I think I have diarrhea all of a sudden. So it's a bad movie. It's dumb. It's dumb as hell. And again, I'm not recommending anyone watch it because it is dumb as hell, but it wasn't as nearly as painful to sit through as I was anticipating it going to be. So there you go.
All right, Joe.
All right. So for a kid power movie and a vampire movie combined, it went about as good as it could have gone. I was preparing myself for like a Three Ninjas style kick to the groin, and I got more of just kind of like a kick in the butt kind of. It's not a good movie. It's not even close, but it's relatively painless to watch. I would never watch it again, but so it sucks, but it doesn't suck hard, I guess.
Not a recommend.
Oh, definitely not.
Dude, okay. I would watch this a thousand times before I watched Three Ninjas again.
Oh, yeah.
Word.
And you know what? Actually, I would consider watching this with a group of friends who haven't seen it, because there are some stuff I would like to see how they react to.
Or the revelation of the Sackville bag.
Yeah.
I do have to say, you know, mirror a lot of what was said here. No surprise, I'm sure. But certainly the critics seem to have it right around the 50% mark. I can't say I'd recommend it. I don't even think it was the best vampire movie we've watched. It does some things a little better, but certainly it's not any more interesting than Dracula 2000 or entertaining. I laughed more at Dracula 2000 than I did at this. So I can't recommend it. It's just mediocre. I mean, even if you have kids and you wanted to watch something with them, there's a whole list of things I can give you that are a better watch than this.
Well, we are definitely not the target audience for this movie in the first place.
No, but I'm just saying, like, even if you are a kid,
20-year-old man, or you have kids
and you want them to watch something, there are better movies than this. Iron Giant works better. A lot of the Muppet movies, things like that. So, yeah, I can't really say this is worth it. All right, so that's not really, you know, most of us did not recommend this. So what would we recommend instead of The Little Vampire?
A movie involving kids and vampires, The Lost Boys.
All right. There you go. That sounds good to me. Go watch The Lost Boys. I know I've
recommended
that
quite a bit on this podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
So if you roll 20, we're going to watch it?
So
we might.
All right. So speaking of such things, what do we have next on the docket, Brian?
It's time for that D20 of Fate, and it's Joe's turn. Hopefully he can make it for that one he rolled a month ago. Let's see how he does this time.
Fingers crossed, everybody.
Huss! That's an 11.
That's two ones.
Two ones.
That's
two ones.
Wait till I get it in the best light, Brian.
Not two ones in a row. That's an 11. Well, 11 is 1995's Jumanji.
Jumanji, okay.
Jumanji.
I want to say that's better, but I don't know for sure.
It's Jumanji.
I loved that movie when it came out.
It's not Zathura or whatever that dumb sequel was.
Was it a sequel?
Yeah, wasn't that just like Space Jumanji?
It is connected, but it is not a sequel.
I think it's meant to take place in the same universe. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I believe the book might have been written by the same person.
No, it's definitely the book is definitely written by the same person.
Okay.
So it's kind of the same style board game that does things to alter your reality.
Yeah, it's a haunted board game movie again.
Kristen Stewart connection.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Who doesn't love a good David Alan Greer?
Yeah, we get some David Alan Greer. We get some Robin Williams in there.
Kirsten Dunst connection.
Right? Mm-hmm. Oh. Just like you just said,
Well, it's a Kristen Stewart. Mm-hmm. She's in Zathura.
Oh, great.
And Twilight, which we just watched.
We just watched Twilight?
Close enough.
Okay.
Anyway, stay tuned for the third one, where Jonathan Mickey gives birth.
and werewolf. The other kid has to bite his... Yeah. Played his stomach open.
Yeah. Oh, Vampire 2 C-section. Anyway,
vitamin C section.
Now? Oh, we're bringing it all together.
Yep.
And I hate myself. What do we have, Rob?
Well, that's going to do it for this episode, guys. We want to thank you so very much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe via iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. We have a new episode every week. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and liking on Facebook. It'll really help us out to spread the word. You can follow us on Facebook.com or on Twitter at 4AM Podcast. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. We try and have a mailbox episode as often as possible whenever we get those emails in. We'll read those out. And of course, we definitely want you to enter our Franchise Month contest if you haven't already. If you want an opportunity to tell us what movie we're going to watch next, you should enter that episode. The instructions and details for that will be at the beginning of the episode. You already heard that by now. But the Google Voice number is 203-787-8946 for those of you that missed it, or Rusty Ho.
Don't know. Yeah, for those of you that don't know how to spell Rusty Ho.
Okay. So, yeah, write us in. Tell us your favorite vampire movie or kids movie. But, until then, we'll see you next week with Jumanji.
Jumanji. Yeah. We'll see you next week, guys.
Deuces.
Adios.
Good night, everybody.